Psalm 100. I want to say again, I appreciate when I get the early days of getting away were difficult, to say the least. It seemed like always something was pulling me back, or somebody was bothered, or whatever. And I can truly get away, and the care. I don't know if that's the right thing. The care of the church, Paul said. All these things Paul had to do, and he said, and the care of the church was hectic. I don't feel that as much now, and I appreciate that. That takes a scriptural effort on the part of the people that are here. Amen. And I say that there was no disunity that I knew of when I came back. It was taking care of the nursery, and I don't mean the one downstairs where they wear diapers. It's the one upstairs where they wear bibs. Amen. And I appreciate that. Not only that, I appreciate how these men in our church, some called to preach the gospel. Of course, we're all called to preach the gospel, but these men have surrendered to a pursuit of that full time. And then others are just, and I don't say this as any less, it might seem it in my vernacular, but they're just deacons. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. You understand what I'm saying? There is a high calling in the office of a bishop and a pastor, but these deacons, and I was a deacon at one time, it's a position of service, servitude, as all of us should be servants, but they're table servers so that the preacher can pray and study the Word of God. That's his one responsibility. That's changed over the years. He should wear a lot of hats, people think. But the men that stood up here, one before I left, and then the other one, did everybody know Brother Matt was going to be the one? Or you suspected? And I wanted to just see him visually. I got to hear him audibly. Is that? Yeah, that's right. And it was his mom. I sat there as a father and a grandfather, Brother Miller, and I was thinking about y'all, and I said, man, watch your son get up there and do that kind of stuff and handle the Word of God with authority and with skill and with application. I was convicted listening to it, and Brother Jim as well, and the other men that are in the ministry already, Brother Jacob, Brother Mike, and Brother Cook, they did a wonderful job handling it. I remember the days when I on purpose would leave the church and just go locally somewhere. And I did that on purpose. Why? I wanted them to see what was and what currently is. And you'd see some of these men get up there, and I'm not trying to be mean, they just mishandled the Word of God. And I appreciate where our church has come. You ought to be able to, I know some people get bothered by me speaking of the past, but the Psalms is all about the past. If you don't remember the past, you'll forget what your purpose is in the future. And so I say this, I'm grateful for this. I wish more churches could get to the position of elder rule. Multiple, if you would, bishops in a church. Yes, there should be one lead, but we've surrendered those things to the current culture, I guess you could say. And when it's that way, the load can be carried. That man born of four, he wasn't born of one. More people, many hands make light work. And so to wrap that up, it was lighter work for me while y'all handled that, and I appreciate that. Y'all did a great job. Amen. Again, I appreciate the church allowing us liberty to get away and get some things taken care of. Psalm 100. I noticed there's new banners up when I got back, and that's how the Lord does it, coincidentally. I know the word thanksgiving is in this one, but I had no real intention. I didn't ask them to do those banners. They did those, but coincidentally, it just happened to be our text for this morning. So let's read five verses of Scripture and see if I can stay where Brother Matt was. Now, introduction, we do know this, right? Introduction and invitation have nothing to do with the time limit on the message. Right? Right? Because that's just the part of a part of it all. So you can't do that. You can't dock me for the invitation. You can't dock me for the introduction. So the time starts when I read my first part of the introduction. No, when I say, and I'm going to preach on this thought this morning, set the timer right there, all right? Is that fair enough? Everybody do me a favor real quick. You know, I went to the land of Dixie. Old times there are not forgotten. And you could wave at people down there. And you know what they do? They wave back. Isn't that interesting? And they smile down there, buddy. And they still do that. Even though I've been a missionary to Ohio for a while, they still do that. They don't do it up here. Rarely. And if you do find one, they visited the South. Amen. So real quick. There we go. We're good. All right, some of y'all didn't. And so your next vacation, you might need to travel south of the Mason-Dixon. And God was so gracious, he put that Mason-Dixon line real close to the north so you didn't have to travel too far. All right, Psalm 100. I see y'all have lost your humor since I've been away. Psalm 100, five verses of Scripture. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Oh, good. That doesn't have nothing to do with me. It's the lands. The trees can do that. And you know what? The trees do that. Get out. I remember as a little boy sitting in a pine thicket and the wind blowing through there. I know this might sound crazy, but it was the first time I ever heard the voice that I would surrender to one day. You said you heard an audible voice? I wasn't really audible, but it was audible. And I sat in that pine thicket, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, with a shotgun, ready to stop my existence. Sitting in that pine thicket, and that wind blew through there. And I heard this, Michael, where are you going to go afterwards? And it scared me enough, not knowing what eternity looked like, to stop me. You can say that's crazy. It stopped me. I recognized that voice later on as a patrolman sitting in a patrol car with the wind blowing that night. And God said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I can make them white as wool. And I'm thankful for the timeless, can I say this, voice of God. It might be in a bulb that comes up in the spring. You see the leaves falling off the tree and you say, it looks like everything's dying. No, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It testifies of a burial and a resurrection. And so the psalmist tells us, because of that, we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's He that created this, not we ourselves. All ye lands, everybody's supposed to do, well, I'm not from the South. I shouldn't have to do that. The South is where the Bible Belt is it? The Bible Belt's anywhere the Bible is and shouldn't be, or anywhere that's God's. Then he said in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye not? Now here's the reason for all that. He said, know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. That begins to tell us why we don't see it and do it as much as before. Because we're our own gods. Humanism, we believe in us. We're the God of our own creation. Why would we? We want everybody to sing to us, right? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. I don't know if this is the way the psalmist meant it, but it does endure. You know what it endures? It endures our lies and deception. And it's still there. Still a beacon of light for anybody that'll come to it. Let's pray, see if we can find something in this passage of Scripture this morning. Father, we thank You for the church house. Thank You for a Bible that tells us all about You. Thank You for this day that You've set aside. 6 days shall a man work, and on the seventh day rest. And Lord, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, our rest is in You. And thank You for that. We'd ask You to speak to us today, Lord, from this passage of Scripture. Yes, I'll be saying words. Lord, I pray that Your voice is much louder than mine. I pray that what I may say in addition to the Scriptures will add to what You would say and not take away from it. Forgive us for our failures this week, and there are probably many. I know mine are. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. And thank You for the compelling conviction to keep moving forward. Lord, I don't know what You'll do today. I hope You'll speak to our hearts and motivate us to enter into Your courts with praise and thanksgiving. Help us to be much more appreciative of all the things that You do for us and have done for us and have created so that we can see You clearly. Lord, if there's somebody that doesn't know You as Savior this morning, I pray You touch their heart before it's eternally too late. And for the saints, Lord, not because we're sinless, but because You've made us saints and priests, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and compel us to recognize You more clearly and more vocally than we may have before. Thank You for the church house. Thank You for God's people. Thank You for the Scriptures. And Lord, most of all for me, I do appreciate the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. As I read through the Old Testament again, You came upon them. You didn't live inside of them. And it's a weighty thought, Lord, some days that You live inside of us, and yet we can be and do and say and think the things that we do. Help us, I plead this morning. Speak to us as only You can. I plead. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. There we go. Well, I just want to preach a simple thought, but surely a needful thought for the day, or should I say season, that appears that our world is in currently. To be honest with you, thankfulness or thanksgiving has exponentially declined. Not just in recent days, but in my personal opinion, in recent decades. It has been on a fast decline, and I'm only 60 years old. It has been on a fast decline for quite some time. I've said it many times before that as a young boy, celebrating Thanksgiving at this season was a norm. I remember going to public schools and making the little flannel graph crafties of the pilgrims and even going to school and dressing that way and so on and so forth. And I don't know, it's been a while since I've been in a school, but I don't even know if they do that anymore. And so as a young boy, I still remember celebrating it at this season. It was a norm. Now it is skipped over. It's skipped over without even a thought. As a young boy, lost nonetheless, we always wanted to start the Christmas season early. I think everybody does. There's some like Andrew that want to start it the day after. That, you know, that Christmas is over. Some of y'all are psychotic. You really are. You really are. And but I think it's understandable that most people want to start that. There's something about that season, isn't there? The music, the songs, the spirits many times. But my mom would say, and my grandma would remind us, that it was only allowed until after the Macy Day Parade. Because Santa Claus, for whatever you believe on him, Santa Claus rode in the float at the end of the parade, and that was permission. After the Macy's Day Parade, that was permission you could put up your Christmas decorations. We went to Florida, and they had them up already. We ain't even got to Thanksgiving yet. And they're up. And how can you really have Christmas decorations in Florida? You know what I'm saying? Anyways, you weren't allowed to put it up until the end of the Macy Day Parade. Now I realize a parade doesn't dictate Thanksgiving, because Macy's Day Parade hasn't always been around. But it is a mindset. But our country's mindset was much different then as it is now. You can go into Walmart or any one of the stores, man. It shifts from Halloween right to Christmas. They just speeding up the process. Even though the bulk of our country may not have been Christian back in those days, there was enough Christian influence to affect society. That's the problem with today. We are a post-Christian society. I don't even know if we're a post-Christian, but we are. There's no semblance of it anymore. Just absolutely no semblance of it. And that's why the Constitution doesn't matter. The Constitution is for a godly people. That document was written for a godly people. It wasn't written for an ungodly people. That's why certain sides of the aisle have nothing to do with the Constitution, because that Constitution is God-based. And there is no God for them. And so even though the bulk of our country may not have been Christian, there was enough Christian influence to affect our society. Now there isn't even enough Christian influence in our churches to impact society. You say it's being very critical, preacher. No, it isn't. And it isn't because of society. It is because of the church and its lack thereof. The church, the early church, that is, in an extremely pagan environment, changed and transformed Rome to the place where they had to say, we have to do something about this Christianity that is taking things over. Now we can't even get our homes to look like Christianity. And it has birthed, because of that, it has been birthed in a lack of thankfulness and thus thanksgiving, or unthankfulness, I guess I could say, and unthanksgiving. As a boy, I thought it was about a bird. How many thought, oh man, we're going to have... Now, our family wasn't very rich, so turkey was the main menu all the time. How many after Thanksgiving, when you were coming up, it was Thanksgiving sandwiches and Thanksgiving, what's the stuff you put mayonnaise and olives in it, and Thanksgiving, what's that stuff called? It's not chicken salad, it's turkey salad, and you just, the bird that just keeps on giving. Now the only way I like them is you got to inject them with Obey seasoning and everything else and deep fry them in order for them to taste good. Anyways, when I was a boy, I thought it was about a bird, not realizing the history of God's plan. And not just here in America. God didn't just have his eyes set on America. You study out cultures all over, and I know they're big on colonization and how colonization destroyed everywhere. In the midst of colonization, there was pockets of people fleeing religious freedom themselves and settled in countries, and many countries have stories of that. Our time in South Africa told us and taught us of the history of the Voortrekkers and how they settled there, fleeing the Dutch Reformed Church for religious freedoms and settling in South Africa, and fought their own battles, circled the wagons and fought off a Zulu nation at Blood River because God was their provider and protector. And thus, as time moves on and we don't pass the story on that we see as an example in Scripture, remember when they were crossing the River Jordan, they said, pick these stones out, set them up for a memorial. Why? The memorial was to testify to the children when they came along, what mean ye these stones? And they could tell the story of how God delivered them out of Egypt. And God sent Joseph in there, and God did all these things. And the Psalms are a record of that history over and over again. And they should be read often. Now the average Christian dad can't even open up his Bible at home and share it with his children. And we wonder why we have a godless society, because we haven't passed it on to our children. The preacher will do that. The Sunday school teacher will do that. No, the church is just a place that you can come and have a unification of that belief and have a safe place to be able to do it, because the school system's not going to do it. Society's not going to do it. The church needs to do it, but it's made up of people at home that do it. And thus, as time moves on and we don't face the story or we don't pass the story on that we see as an example in Scripture, the generations after forget, and ungratefulness and entitlement replaces it, because we become our own God rather than acknowledging the God that gives us life and breath. You won't be so caught up with yourself if you realize that God's the one that breathes life into you. Although Scripture shows us that attitude throughout it, Paul wrote to a young preacher in a very wicked and vile city at Ephesus, and he warned them in the last days it would be more prevalent. And I believe we're in the last days. We're at least in the last days of the last days. I don't know when the last day is going to be, but I do see the slide, the drift, the diving into this ungratefulness. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 tells us this: "This know also, young Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves," and aren't they? Ladies, you can say amen. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." Isn't that true? And they are. We think women are divas. Man, men are much more divas. Come on, somebody's got to help me this morning. You probably want me to say that word "men" there is not gender inclusive. It's "woe men" and "men." And then we can get everybody to say amen. I think it starts with Dad. I don't know about you, I just think it starts with Dad. If Dad's thankful, he understands where he comes from, he'll pass that on. He'll want somebody else to know it. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And what are the perilous times? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." And then he put that word in there: unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Preacher, I'd be at church, but I don't fish, I don't hunt, I don't do all those things, but there's something you do. Man, I drove to church this morning, people are already up going to church. And I'm not talking about the one with the steeple. Thank you, Brother Ryan. When a person forgets or doesn't know where they came from and for what purpose, you will soon lose the truth that is needed to provide and sustain a thanksgiving. Being thankful. Being appreciative. I was telling Libby last night, I came from nothing. Nothing. And I'm so thankful for where God's got me. Because it wasn't me, it wasn't something I did. It was following His precepts, following His commandments, following His principles. And because of that, you'll find success. Joshua told us that. So as I was away and doing some studying, that study machine happens, Brother Matt. Even though I was there and I knew the pulpit was going to be filled, in the back of my mind I could still see, oh, I got to get these. I could still see Sunday's coming. You gotta, and I said it to somebody, I think I might have said it to Joe while I was down there. I'm thankful to be a pastor. It keeps me in my Bible. I know there's a lot of pastors get their messages. I know a lot of preachers. There's one preacher that has a website that he provides information and messages, and he says, you know when that website's the most active? Saturday night. Isn't that terrible? And I think I said to somebody not too long ago, I hope I have the same fervor to open up the Bible and study something for if not somebody else's well-being, a Sunday school class or whatever, just for myself. You never get, is there anybody in here that's got gray hair that's gotten to a place you don't need to open it up because you've already figured it all out and learned it all? And so as I was away and doing some studying and some reading, I came across a truth, I guess you could say three simple truths. A timeless truth needed for today. It didn't matter if it applied then or it applies now. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. It doesn't change. I know people love to say, well, God, if God were here now, He is. And he left a document that's changed. He even said this. He backed it up with this. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. And so, I came across a truth, a timeless truth needed for today, every day, and not just this season. The Psalms are full of this truth that we are to be reminded to be thankful for. It is what sustained the children of Israel and needs to be shared in more places than just a Sunday school class occasionally or a yearly church service. I lead purposefully as a pastor to remind ourselves to be thankful and to ask weekly for people to share that gratitude by way of a testimony. For the moments that the soundboard was working, there was a place where I think Jacob, Brother Inman, got up there and he said, well, I can't remember how he said it, but he said it. And he said, you know, has anybody got a testimony? I really pray and hope we get to a place where it doesn't have to be asked. We just learned church etiquette. Preacher, you mind if I just stand up and give a testimony? We just learned, because this is a place. This is the place to tell testimonies. This is the place to share what God's done for us. Because what happens, we've collectively come together, just like the hymns, the Hebrew hymns, if you will, they collectively got together and the older would sing that so the younger would hear it. And then the younger would start realizing and seeing the same things. Jesus often pointed to the disciples and he'd point something out to show them something to be thankful for. And we need to do that more often. It is what sustained the children of Israel, and it needs to be shared in more places than just a Sunday school class occasionally or yearly church service. As I said, I lead purposefully as a pastor to remind ourselves often to be thankful and ask for people to share weekly their gratitude and their testimony for what God's done. Be careful when you can't seem to be grateful publicly regarding God's goodness. I remember in a church in North Georgia we were in, and the song leader, he was a youth pastor as well, and the youth choir would get up there, and he would randomly many times grab a microphone while they were singing and hand it to somebody in the choir of the youth choir and say, tell us something about the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, on point, you ought to have on the tip of your tongue all the time something to be grateful for God that He's done for you. We're so quick to tell something that is negative. We're so quick sometimes to just immediately spew something out that's negative. But sometimes we just need to slow down and have something on our tongue often that is positive. Be careful when you can't seem to be grateful publicly regarding God's goodness. I've seen a lot of young people disenfranchised by the church. It wasn't the church. It was mom and dad in the car grinding everybody up after they left services or texting each other on the phone because they didn't want to disrupt the service talking. I've seen many a woman bump a man's elbow, and I've seen many a man bump a woman's elbow and critique everything around them because their life's spinning out of control. It's easier to critique something than it is to change something. So let me say it again. Be careful when you can't seem to be grateful publicly regarding God's goodness. There is a fad taking place now on the internet, social media, where the critics get behind their keyboard and they get up there and they pick apart. You never hear them testify about how great church is, how good God is. You hear them disintegrate every little thing on what churches aren't doing instead of what the church they go to is doing. Be careful. So with that being said, let me share with you what I found from the psalmist preaching on this thought. Start the timer, Dan. 11:35 plus 20 means 11:55. Not including the invitation, Brother Mark. I want to preach on this thought this morning. A timeless truth for Thanksgiving. Timeless truth for Thanksgiving. I'll give you three timeless truths for this season. First, we see from the psalmist in verses 1 through 3, the imperative of Thanksgiving. Let me read this, see if you can see this along with me. I don't want to twist your arm. It was very clear what Brother Matt preached on the other night. And all these other men. Matt, that was your first time in a pulpit, right? Other than as a Sunday school teacher. But in a position of, you're the guy. You know, a lot of times we can get in a Sunday school class and say, I can squeak a little by. I hope you're not the Sunday school teacher that doesn't ever study and then gets up there and says, well, we'll wing it. That winging is going to show up sooner or later. It was clear what Brother Matt was saying. Let's see if we can, I can be as clear this morning. See if you can find the imperatives of thanksgiving. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We see the first timeless truth of thanksgiving in this season, and not just in this season. In every season, we ought to be this way. The imperative of thanksgiving. As I read this passage while I was away, I chose the word imperative. I was sharing, this is going to be my devotional Bible. I'm not going to preach out of this one, but man, this thing looks so nice this morning when Brother Jacob brought it in from the men that got this for me. I had to show it off, man. This thing. And then the negative in me, I pulled down that one my son-in-law did for me. My favorite Bible of all times, and pulled that one down and I set it next to, I think Andrew was in there, Brother Andrew, and I said, this one was $400 some odd to rebind it. This one's like two something. And I said, if I would have been the one binding that one, I would have said, no, I don't want to charge you that for that. But I brought this one in. It was so pretty, but I want to use this one just as my devotional Bible. And in my other one, I've been picked on by Joe Kotinski. Did I say that right? Joe Kotinski. John O'Malley, Dewey Whitfield doesn't do this to me. But I like to write my Bible, and I encourage everybody else. God's going to talk to you. Now, Skyler, you can buy a journal made out of the same quality, and so you journal. I cut my teeth on a classic note Bible, which was a blank page every other page. So I just learned to write notes based upon the Scriptures. So they have been picking at me. I'm not going to, for their sake, not mine, I'm not going to write in this one. And the other one I'm going to write, but I had to bring it today. And I said all that to say this. In mine, in my office, the one I usually carry, I group things together and I study sometimes like I preach. I'm not that smart, so I have to break it down in sections. And I just learned to alliterate and put a word next to it so it makes sense to me. And the first one I wrote down in verses 1 through 3 was the imperative of thanksgiving. The whole theme of that verse of Scripture is praise, but it's praise for what? For thanksgiving. He said it. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful for the things. And He shows us the first timeless truth of thanksgiving is the imperative of it. As I read this passage of Scripture, or read this passage of Scripture while I was away, I chose the word imperative to describe these three verses. Imperative simply means commanding, expressive of a command, containing positive command as distinguished from advisory or discretionary. In grammar, the imperative mode of a verb is that which expresses command, entreaty, advice, or exhortation as go, write, attend. As you read this psalm, you will soon hear the imperative, the timeless truth of the imperative of thanksgiving. He understood the order, the psalmist did. It has to start with an imperative. It has to start. Everything from the Bible starts with an imperative. It starts with God declaring something to us, and it's imperative that we come to Him and do that that He is asking us of. He understood the orders and was trying to relay to the reader as well. I don't want to go into great detail. 11:55 comes quick. And the food. But look at them with me. The first imperative, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Who's to do that? Just the church folks? Just the elderly? Did he specify? Sure he did. There's an imperative. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all. All ye lands. Well, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're Christian. I appreciate the fact that you believe in Jesus and God and everything else. But, you know, that's not who we believe in. That's not the imperative. The imperative is there's not many paths to the top of the mountain. And only one God. There's only one path to the top of the mountain, and there's only one God. There is an imperative. The first one is make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That word make means to split the ears. Joe asked me on one of the midweek services, he said, where are you going? And I said, you know, I even told Brother Wes, love to have him. I love to go hear him Sunday morning, Sunday night. They had a missionary there when I was there, so I didn't get to hear him. And I said, I won't be back Wednesday. I'm going to either travel around or I'm going to go sit down and listen to the folks at our own church. And I told Joe I was going to go to a church down the road. And Joe said, you mean the one that when you said amen, they all turned around and looked at you? He knew exactly what I was talking about. And I said, yeah, I mean, it's a comfortable church, but you can't get too aggressive with your amens in there. You know, it's kind of like you pass gas in a funeral. People are looking around at you and everything. You know, see how I did that? I didn't say fart. I said pass gas. Since I went south, I've gotten more pastoral, brother, buddy. What's the point I'm trying to make? What's that word make? It says to split the ears. When's the last time you went to a church service and somebody split your ears with a joyful noise? Do y'all remember back in the early days when I first got here? I think he was a priest. That old black preacher would come sit in the back. Well, I'd say something. He'd say amen. I'd get to stop my foot up here. Man, you should see the people just get uncomfortable. But yep, oh my goodness, maybe the Browns maybe win one game. Maybe win one game. LeBron James does something. Everybody's hanging off the chandeliers. Come to church. Get pulled out of the depths of hell. Get rescued from the charred walls of the dam. Be on the winning side. Have eternal life. Remember one time somebody visited from a church locally. There was something going on in her church, brought her kids, brought her husband, I think. I won't name the church. And after the service, she went to one of the ladies in the church and said, my goodness, does he always do that? She said, do what? She said, scream like that. I got something to scream about. I got something that is joyful. I got something that, man, I've read my Bible. I know where I would have went if he wouldn't have picked me up out of a horrible pit and put my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise, and many shall see it in fear. I'll tell you what, we have a lot of things to make a noise about in this world. And then we come to church and we don't even squeak. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's an imperative. All ye lands. Make means to split the ears. Shout for alarm. Or joy. Here's the next imperative to Thanksgiving. Serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. We got too many people that are socialist Christians. They like to receive, but they don't like to give. They're consumers, they're not producers. You ought to be able to go in anywhere and produce, to serve. I just got done reading about Joseph, Jacob at Laban's house. Man, I'll tell you what. Man, he loved Rachel, didn't he? Son, he worked 7 years for Leah. Dad, Laban, tricked him. I don't know if I would have handled it the same way. I don't know. And Jacob was still early. I don't know if you work 7 years to get the one that's favorable to your eyes, and then he tricks you? And then he said, whew. And you know what he did? He worked another 7 for Rachel. And then he's tricking him again, and over and over and over again he's tricking him. And he finally has a conversation with Laban that Laban's prosperous. Why? Because Jacob served Laban. He served him. You look at the average church. And then when people do serve, this is what they say. Well, I'm just a volunteer. You're not volunteering for me. You're volunteering for God. And it's not a volunteer service. It's required. I watch the MMA every once in a while. There was a show I was watching on Netflix the other day while we were down there. Physical 100 Asia. And it's this thing on Netflix where 100 people get together and they do these physical things of strength, and it's just amazing. And there was a guy on there that was an MMA guy from Korea, South Korea. Korea, it's mandatory service as a citizen. At some time in your tenure as a human being of 2 years. I've said this before many times. Somebody's probably going to get off the rails with me. We'd learn a valuable lesson in our country. Men would. A valuable lesson in our country if after high school you had to mandatorily serve. Yeah. I've met a lot of bad ones, but I've met a lot of good ones. That they come right out of high school. I got out of high school and I said, I'm my own person, making my own decisions. I'm joining the military. You are government-issued property. You defend the Constitution. Constitution doesn't apply to you. Oh, thank you. But you know what it did? It taught me and it prepped me for when God would call me into a life of service. You ask the average person nowadays, they want to be served. They don't want to serve. What is the imperative of thanksgiving? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. The word serve means to serve, to till, and to enslave. I'm not going to be enslaved to nobody. I know. And you're not thankful for it. You're not thankful that God pulled you. You serve the devil. Jesus said to those Pharisees, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you'll do. You'll serve him. Romans tells us that whom you are servant to, you'll obey. And so many of us have no problem obeying the devil when we're lost. But all of a sudden we get saved and we got this liberty. We got this liberty to do anything we want to do. That's not what God bought us for. God wanted us to do, can I just say this? To be pawns on his table. And he'd move us about at his free will. Now, it is he that hath made you, not ye yourselves. It's him. If he made us, he controls us. The imperative is to make, to serve. Then he said this, come before his presence with singing. The word come means to abide, to apply, to attain, to besiege. We're supposed to come to church and besiege God with what? Singing. Now watch this. The psalmist also said, make a joyful noise. You say, I've heard people say, I don't sing real good. I hold my hymn book and I'm in spirit with them. That's not how God wants you to do it. Even if you're out of key, you're supposed to sing, and some of you do it well. Along with me. You don't see me in the choir, do you? But I'm going to still sing. Some of y'all, man, are y'all okay? Y'all getting green in the gills this morning. Make a joyful noise, the imperative of thanksgiving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And then he said this, know. These are all imperatives. Know what? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. The word know means to ascertain by seeing, observation, care, recognition, punishment, instruction, designation. Now we see the importance of devotions at home and parental instruction, as well as discipleship in the church. But it starts at home, and the church creates an environment to support it. These are imperatives to thanksgiving. To make, serve, come, and know. As to the imperatives of thanksgiving, just how many are you following? How many am I following? How many of them am I fulfilling? It may answer the question as to how thankful or not you are, or the society around us isn't. You hold the door for somebody nowadays, it's almost like you were supposed to hold it for them. Isn't it terrible the way we've gotten nowadays? We're unthankful. We ought to be the most appreciative people in the world. And then when somebody sees that appreciation, and they might ask, my goodness, you are so thankful. You know why? Because once I had nothing, and God redeemed me from the charred walls of the dam, and I'm thankful for it. And I want to make sure my thankfulness and my gratefulness moves over to somebody else and they can see why I'm thankful. Number two, timeless truth. First, the imperative of thanksgiving. Verse 4, the initiative of thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Once we understand the imperative of thanksgiving, then there must be an initiative to thanksgiving. I chose the word initiative based upon verse 4 from the psalmist. Initiative means the ability to assess and initiate things independently. The power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. See, the bottom line is it won't happen unless you do it. It is not in our nature to praise the Lord. It is not in our nature to be thankful to a God that we can't see with the physical eyes. It is not in our nature. It has to be in our spiritual man that we see that. And we not only understand the imperatives, we take the initiative. What did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah say? We're going to go in there. And we're gonna serve the Lord, or however it was. He says, and if you turn up the heat, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be the same way. We are going to take the initiative, and we are going to praise the Lord, even if we can't see Him. See, the bottom line is it won't happen unless you do it. You have to take the initiative to be thankful and to give thanksgiving. And you will do it based upon the imperative. And we only have ourselves to blame for the society around us. We have not heeded the imperative and forged forth with the initiative. You don't believe me? Look at the average worship service. It is an initiative. If you've read your Bible this week and you've seen how good God is in Scripture, and you've understood how good He is, Miss Emily, in the Scriptures, in your own personal life, then you know what you're doing? You are anticipatory to get to church. You say, well, I can do it at home. I can do it in a tree stand. I can do it on a fishing boat. No, this is the place. And you know what? And I've said this many times. Do you know why we're vocal in church? The same reason those men grabbed a stone and put it on their shoulder and set it on the banks so the children could see it. Man, what's preacher so excited about? Because God redeemed me. What's brother so-and-so so excited about? Why did he say amen to that? I need to pay attention. It's not so the preacher can hear you say amen. It's so other people, amen is just an agreement. I agree with what he's saying. It has taken place in my life. It's happened for me. And these other young people sit there and say, well, if it happened for them, by faith, I'm going to see if it'll happen for me. The initiative of thanksgiving. You don't believe me? You don't believe that our churches are in need of understanding the imperative? Look at the average worship service. Talking, texting. And I'm not talking about other churches. Talking, texting, searching the internet. I've seen people clip toenails. You think I'm crazy? I've seen people clip their toenails, clean their fingernails, take a nail file out, knit, stitch, draw, play, talk. And the little ones watch it all and conclude, if mom and dad do it, then this must be part of church. And it must just not be important to praise the Lord. You have to take an initiative. Look at how lost people take the initiative for their children. What's that little thing Joan Benet did? Beauty pageants. Joan Benet never would have thought about going to a beauty pageant if it wasn't for mom. I've said it before, I grew up on the Waltons. John rarely went to church. Guess what? When you watch the Christmas specials and the Thanksgiving specials of the older boys and girls in the Walton family, guess what they ain't doing? They ain't going to church. See, when you and I understand the imperative to Thanksgiving, then we take the initiative. My kids used to ask me, are we going to church today? Are we going to church today? Because we were always in church. You know why? Because Dad took the initiative. You know why our communities are lacking for Thanksgiving? It all rests on Dad's shoulders. Take the lead, Dad. Underfathered, overmothered. The initiative of Thanksgiving. I know it makes people uncomfortable. I remember when I came here, I heard people say, and they even told me, you're trying to make this a Southern church. And I would say, and still will, no, I'm trying to make it a biblical church. Praise and thanksgiving is not regional. It is scriptural. And it's probably time for all churches to be a little bit more biblical. I truly miss what I saw coming up in Southern churches I miss that so many times. We were in the prayer room the other day. I don't know if anybody picked up on it. When somebody asked, Brother Colossi, you asked somebody to pray, and Brother O'Malley was there. Did you sit next to Brother O'Malley? When Brother Jacob, I think you asked Brother Jacob Inman to pray and lead the prayer service, what did Brother O'Malley do? Out loud. I'll never forget the first time after I got saved and I went to one of these kind of churches. I'm not talking about handling snakes. I'm not talking about Church of God, Holy Rollers, Pentecostal. I went in the prayer room, and it was Brother Roger Tooley. And they asked him, they said, Brother Tooley. And I had heard his name before, and I was looking around for him. I saw 6'6", John Bunyan, you know, whatever, Paul Bunyan or whoever that guy was. And I'm looking around. I even kept my eyes open waiting for the first person to start praying. Still couldn't figure out who it was, because as soon as he started praying, everybody in that room started praying. And I was sitting there saying, how in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to concentrate on what somebody's saying? I wasn't in there to concentrate on what somebody else was praying about. I was in there to pray to God myself. Out loud, vocally, take the initiative. You say that's too confusing. It is for me with a traumatic brain injury. It's really bad sometimes. There's too many people talking. Stop. But the initiative has to be taken. We are talking to God. Then I've been in prayer rooms before. When the preacher stops praying in the prayer room, everybody else stops mid-prayer. And I'm going, who are you praying for? The initiative. Truly miss what I saw coming up in southern churches. And they didn't corner the market. It was just birthed out of the region. They were historically people of little means, but understood the God of provision and prayed Him for it. Chitlins didn't come out of Ohio. Hog jowls didn't come out of Ohio. Head cheese didn't come out of Ohio. It came out of the mountain hollers where people praised the Lord and took the initiative. Again, I could go over each word and probably should. Thanksgiving, praise, thankful, and bless. Study those out on your own and tell me if that's you when you come to church. Are you audible? Are you concerned about what somebody else is going to think? I'm more concerned with what God's going to think. Now, you know me, I've said before, I'm audible, but my audible isn't always taking a lap around the sanctuary. My audible's tears, because I still can't figure out why God saved me. I had nothing to offer Him, absolutely nothing. And I don't share it, but there were so many things I did against Him and said to Him. I was the Lieutenant Dan, screaming and yelling and cursing at Him, if you're God, then why did this happen to me? And then He saved me, and I've been ever grateful and thankful. Here's the last time was truth. We see the imperative of thanksgiving. We see the initiative of thanksgiving. Lastly, we see the indicative of thanksgiving. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. That settles it, shouldn't it? Maybe I shouldn't have had to preach 30 minutes of it, and I just should have said we ought to praise the Lord because He's just good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. I've done things since I've been saved I should be stoned for in the Old Testament. I'm not proud of that. Not proud of it at all. Should be stoned. And you know what? His mercy is everlasting. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And His truth, what? Endureth to all generations. We say this younger generation, they're hopeless. No, they're not. You know, the only reason they're hopeless is if you and I don't understand the imperative and you and I don't take the initiative to share the indicative of thanksgiving with this generation coming up. They have to hear us say, praise the Lord. They have to hear us say, I'm so thankful. I hope somewhere when my kids are standing over my grave and they look at my grave and they say, you know, my dad taught me to be thankful, to be appreciative. We've lost that today. And we wonder why, and we cast stones at the younger generation. I don't, many do. They've never seen us appreciative of it, and we've never shared why we are. And so they have nothing to gauge it on to be thankful for. We've seen the imperative of the psalmist and the initiative of the psalmist. Lastly, I see the truth of the indicative of thanksgiving from the psalmist. I chose indicative, which means showing, giving intimation or knowledge of something not visible or obvious. In grammar, the indicative mode is the form of the verb that indicates that is, which affirms or denies. As he writes, he is writing, they run, we misimprove advantages. It also asks questions as, has the mail arrived? See, when we understand and see the hand of God, we will come to church differently. I told that stupid little story about locking myself out of my truck the other day. And it's just been, I said to somebody the other day, I have been in a season where I just am desperately trying to see God's hand. Just desperately trying to get answers to specific prayers, and I don't see the answers to specific prayers. And then I walk out, and one thing on top of the other. I mean, since I was gone, Tina's car, and I'm her father, and Cody took my truck, and the front end fell off of a new truck. And I mean, it's just one thing after another, and a check engine light coming home, and it's this and that and the other thing. I walk out to my truck the other day, keys locked in there. I'm looking at them, looking at them. And I'm looking around, and I told the story already. I just backed up. I mean, I would put my elbow through it. There comes Joe walking out the door. And I'm too embarrassed to break my window with Joe walking out. Long story short, Angela comes along. If Joe wouldn't have been there, I would have broke the door. I would have. And then I got in my truck, and God said, that was me. I said, I said, if that was you, how about the bigger ones? How about the ones that I'm pleading with you every day? The real big ones. I don't need my stupid keys. I can break the window. He said, no, you need to understand that I can give you anything you want. Just ask and be patient. The indicative of thanksgiving. See, when we understand and see the hand of God, we will come to church differently. And we will be a thankful people and understand the imperative. What's the imperative? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So the question must be asked, just how thankful are you and I? Let me really just ask yourself, am I thankful? Have I just sat down? I think I've told my wife this before. I said it to somebody. I preached somewhere sometime and I said this. Get you two lists. Get you two. We're so quick to go to the list on this side and say all the bad. Get you a list and write down. Be and help have somebody else there with you. Oh, you missed that. You didn't see that. You forgot about that. See, we can look at that list on the right that's so negative sometimes we forget all the positive. It can just be something simple. Something just so simple. I was getting ready, I say this, Lindsay, I was getting ready to leave the other day. Man, you messed me up bad. I got in the car, Libby said, you okay? And I said, phew. I said, I went to say goodbye to Lindsay, and she said, no, I need a hug. And I said, Libby, she's going through so much. And that little act of kindness and compassion to me just absolutely melted me. And I said, it was just God. We do not realize how being thankful and gracious and kind and compassionate to other people, how it can change things. Instead of coming in and complaining. So the question must be asked, just how thankful are you? And if you are, how much do you show it and share that with others? I wrote all my kids this week. I said, man, I can't wait to get home. The children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I didn't have a family coming up. Had no kind of family. And I said, I got 17 hugs I need when I get home. And I've been, every so often I'll send a text message and I said, there's five. I need 12 more. And I'll just keep, you know why? Because I'm thankful that God did that for me. What are you thankful for? Did you sit down and eat a bounty? What are you thankful for? Came home last night. I know it's simple. Came home last night. I just, in my own quiet time, Miss Linda and Jim came over with a little thing of milk, two little things of sweets. Said, we knew you didn't have time to go to the grocery store. We wanted to give you something. And then Cody and Ray Lynn came down, and Joe and Angela, and the eight of us went to the. It ain't fun. It's a buffet, but it ain't fun. It was, anyways. And I waved to the waitress one time. God's been good to me. I can be gracious to other people. And I went. She went like that. And then she came back. She was bringing all them fortune cookies, you know. And devilish little things. His horoscope things. And she maneuvered her way over to Miss Linda and handed her the check. There was almost a fight that went down. And I got in my truck and I went away and I told him, thank you. You didn't have to do that. We've forgotten that. We think it's expected now for us, for people to do something. There's never been a church fellowship I've ever went to that I haven't walked into the kitchen and said, thank you. Thank you. We used to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for the hands that prepared the food. Now we just said, good bread, good meat, good, gosh, let's eat. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Help us to be more thankful. Lord, I need to be more thankful. You have been very good to this old boy. In spite of the things that I complain to you about, help me not only in this season, but in the days, the weeks, and Lord, the days I have ahead of me. Told us to number our days. Help me to number mine and be thankful for what you do. Speak to our hearts this morning as only you can, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.